little big old lady. You wouldn't know it just to look at her, but she's a woman who was perhaps typical of America's lower middle-class housewives of the 1940s and 50s, before instant everything, before fast food, before automatic, before prefab and drive-through and microwave and ready-to-serve. She's a woman who had to make do with what was already at hand. She came up with 3 hot meals a day for 5 kids, and everything was made from scratch. The margarine had to be yellowed by massaging red dye into it through a cellophane bag. The cornbread had to be cooked without self-rising or enriched flour. The kitchen heat of the afternoon had to be borne without air conditioning. The oven had to go full blast in the tiny airless bungalow in order to cook anything. The grits and the oatmeal and the cream of wheat and the cakes and the pies had to be cooked from scratch without the aid of prepackaged ingredients. The diapers had to be washed and reused and washed and reused. The clothes had to be sorted and stirred in the bathtub and rinsed and wrung by hand and carefully pinned to a clothesline outdoors, unless, of course, it rained. And then she had to go get everything off the line and turn the house into a magic hanging garden of linens and cottons and nylons until the sun came out, and then she had to take them all back outside and hang them up again and then bring them in and sort them and fold them and put them away before the days of anti-static cling. And then ironing had to be done in the humid and hot summer afternoon by hand, while radio soap operas distracted her weariness, and kids had to stay in their domain, the backyard and the front yard, so that she could accomplish all this without aid of dishwasher or maid or power-driven lawnmower. Back then, she kept kids occupied by feeding them Kool-Aid and Pepsi-Cola and buying them Collier's Encyclopedia and Junior Classics and Childcraft and comic books and Whitman books and Little Golden books and Wonder books. And bills had to be paid in person by taking the bus with kids in tow and going to the waterworks and the power company and the gas company and the mortgage company and then to Woolworth and Kress for treats. She never had time to be ill or depressed because there was always the next immediate deadline to meet. And then her husband would be coming home from work and things had to be on schedule because if they got behind schedule, there was no delegating the leftover work to anyone else. She and her husband worked hard and intensely and never stopped even once to say, "Gee, I'm feeling depressed today. I think I'll call in sick." Or, "Gosh, this just isn't me. I think I'll drop out and do something more fulfilling." Or, "Why don't we just go on welfare and give up all this pain?" There simply were no options like that in their generation. They just kept on keeping on. And their kids all grew up finally and got lives, and they had a bit of time together to enjoy retirement before he died, and now here she is, still surviving, still dealing with her grown kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and never letting a day go by without displaying her indefatigable bravery in the line of fire. Even though she got run over by an automobile a while back, and even though she's once again walking when some medical professionals doubted she ever would again, and even though she's in her 80s, she hasn't stopped her forward progress and her concern for her family and her willingness to go party with anybody who will go party with her any time of the day or night. What a woman. Happy Mother's Day every day, Mother. Keep on keeping on. Do you hear? Relative Relativity. Dear Diary, Einstein was right. Everything is relative. What Einstein failed to go on to say is relativity is everything. In fact, relativity is everybody. We are all related in some manner, a fact at once beguiling and frustrating, at times horrifying to think, did I really come from the same evolutionary roots as Saddam Hussein and Princess Di? And at times provocative, I may share wellsprings with Einstein himself, or Raquel Welch, or even Pee Wee Herman. If we are all kin, most of us don't like to admit it except when it's convenient. Sometimes the same folks who go on and on about how they've traced their roots all the way back to King Henry V or the Vikings are the same folks who don't like to talk about the fact that if they go far enough back before that, they are also kin to Nelson Mandela, Adolf Hitler, Moses, Rube Goldberg, Henny Youngman, and Mother Teresa. We share a common ancestry. And you have to believe that whether you're an evolutionist or a religionist. So, if we're all in the same family, Why do we treat cousins and sisters and offspring different from neighbors, foreigners, and aliens? Why is our own blood so much more palatable than a stranger's? Why are my lawn weeds nicer than your lawn weeds? It's not only a small world, it's a world interwoven with genes and bloodlines and ancestries. Unfortunately, it's also a world of many fences and few gates, a world of defensive weaponry that can become offensive at any given moment, a world of more should-haves than can-dos, a world where the meek, though blessed, are often oppressed, simply because they do not place aggression at the tops of their priority lists. Where is the good in the world, then, you ask? Well, it's like everything else in the universe. The good is there. You simply have to fade the bad stuff out for a while so you can notice it. An audience laughing at the same humor is sharing a commonality that transcends the petty differences of the moment. An old man stopping to pat a small child on the head is making a quantum leap in time, and without knowing it, is by the same act massaging the cosmos with a bit of kindness. A police officer who suddenly and without thinking risks life and limb to save the life of someone who in normal circumstances wouldn't seem worth the extension of a cordial greeting, that officer is unconsciously affirming the fragile but extensive thread of hope that cobwebs the world and makes itself available at the strangest times. It's out there. You have to either take time to notice it or act quickly when the kindness urge strikes, so that you won't have time to figure out why you should not be doing something so wimpy as generating an unconditional act of sweetness.